that the heroes weren't following, but all four had remained by the gate, leaning against their bikes. One or two townspeople had also appeared and were watching the temple. As soon as they were properly inside the gloomy building, Ryan knew that his suspicions, and those of Doc, were about to be justified.
Lori.
Yeah, bitch! You like it like that, don't you?
They crept closer.
Take it!
The soft-bodied young man lay flat on his back, in front of the snake altar, his pants hooked around his ankles. His head was turned away from them, his arms stretched out wide. Lori was riding him, her own legs spread apart, the bells of her high red boots clicking on the polished wooden floor. Her head was thrown back, and her long blonde hair almost reached the thrusting cleft of her buttocks. Her hands were on Joshua Mote's chest, nails digging crimson furrows in his skin. She was naked, apart from her boots. Even in the dim light inside the temple, Ryan could clearly see that the girl's nipples were hard, with her own driving passion. I'm sorry, Doc.
Who the fuck?
Joshua tried to sit up and see around the girl's body. Lori ceased her rocking, but didn't bother to turn around.
Got the old dribbling fucker with you, Ryan? Guess you have. Now he can see how a real man could get on fucking. Can't you, Doc? Can't you, Doc?
Come with us, child. You deserve better than this imbecile, Lori.
Joshua pushed her off, fumbling as he tried to pull his pants up over his suddenly limp penis. His face was flushed with anger.
Who are you calling names? You're dead, old man. Dead? Nobody does this to Joshua Moten lives.
Shut up, boy. Talk's cheap. Action costs. Get dressed, Lori.
Why?
Just do it. I'm not here to argue. Get your clothes on or I'll drag you naked down Main Street. Come on, girl.
Convinced, Lori stood, deliberately not bothering to hide herself from either man.
Quickly. I'll wait outside. I need some fresh air. Tis a tad stuffy in here.
For a moment, it seemed as though Lori were going to make some smart-ass crack at the old man. But she caught Ryan's eye and kept silent.
I'm going to my father. He'll see to you, Outlander!
I'm shaking in my boots, boy. Just go on home now.
Ryan was left alone with Lori. She'd nearly finished dressing, and her mouth was set in a stubborn, angry line.
You don't understand, Ryan.
You're wrong, Lori. I understand. We all do. Even Doc does.
It's just that I don't want to hurt him. He's being very kind to me, Ryan.
I know that. He's got a lot of goodness in him, Lori. He's generous and brave. Braver than you could ever know. You shouldn't have treated him like that.
I know. Maybe he and me can find some times to talk after, when we leave the Ville.
You won't stay with Joshua Mote?
She smiled, and Ryan saw how very beautiful the girl was, and how very young.
No. Double big cock, double small brain.
Off on the way, so I hear.
They walked out.
Going back to Grandpa, you gaudy slut? You fucking wait! We got the power in this Ville, you useless dry bitch! We'll give you to the snakes!
Your snakes! We'll chill them all like we chilled your fucking big Asriel!
There was a brief moment of utter stillness as they all realized what Lori had just said.
Oh, fuck.
None of them tried to draw on you?
No. Thought that was going to be it. Had my blaster half out of its holster.
Well, I believe that they were too surprised to do anything. There was a great dropping of jaws.
I'm real sorry, people. But he didn't should have called me them names. The dirty, hot-cocked bastard pig!
It's telling him, Lori. What you did is done. Can't take it back. Like a bullet on its way out of the barrel.
What are we gonna do?
Jack stood by the window, peering out from behind the curtains at the street. Since the hasty return of Ryan, Doc, and Lori, the Ville appeared to be suddenly and peculiarly deserted.
Lines are drawn now. Like it or not, there won't be any running now. They know we did for their pet idol. Just the excuse they wanted to come at us. Could be best we go at them first. Ryan?
Could be. We're too few. There won't be anyone in the Ville we could look to for help. They'll either back the moats as the power, or they'll stand off and wait and watch.
Why can't we leave? Would they try and stop us?
Of course. What JB says is right. Running time's gone.
Now, I saw an old movie the day before they froze me. Can't remember much, but there was a line about how dying time had come. Is it like that now, Ryan?
Don't be a stoop, Rick. We've got the blasters. More important, some of us know a lot about chilling. People don't realize that killing is an art like any other. You have to learn it.
Oh, not me. Sorry and all that, guys, but I'll help and do what I can, but I won't kill another human being. Sorry.
It was dusk before the first move was made. Jack peeked back from his place by the window.
Moat-san and zombie.
JB was covering the rear of the building, but with darkness falling, it would be easy for the enemy to approach undetected and hit the rental room from any side. Ryan's plan was to move outside as quickly as possible, once the last shreds of light were gone.
Tell JB. Could be a feint out front here.
Chill him?
It was tempting to try to get rid of Zombie, possibly the biggest threat on the other side. But Ryan preferred to wait.
No, keep back. See if they got something to say to us.
They had. Joshua Moat stopped about 50 yards away, half hidden by a dusty sycamore on the far side of the street. Zombie stood at his shoulder, carrying a large piece of ragged white cloth that was tied to a broom handle. Nervously, he waved it at the watchers in the room.
You gonna let us near?
Ryan eased the window open a few inches.
Could have chilled you by now if I'd wanted to. Come closer. Say what you gotta say. We won't open fire.
Don't trust them.
Rick leaned on his stick at the other side of the window.
They'll try to trick you.
No, they got no reason to. We're here. They know we aren't going anywhere. Not yet. They can wait us out. I figure there's a ring of armed men all around us right now. How can they trick us?
I don't know. I wouldn't trust them, Ryan.
Ryan ignored Ginsburg, concentrating instead on the two men in the street. Joshua Moat flourished a sheet of paper.
Message from Pa and Ma. They say someone's gotta pay the blood price for Azrael. That's the law here. They say it's time for a new Baron.
Wouldn't be Baron Norman Moat, would it, son?
You shut your... You give us the two women and leave, and you forfeit your blasters to the Ville. You get an escort to the limits.
And a bullet through the back of the skull.
Yeah, I know.
What happens if we don't accept?
Y'all get chilled and handed over to the snakes. They like a lot of fresh food.
We got long to think this over?
1 hour, starting now.
We got the place rigged, One Eye.
Figured you would have.
You got no chance.
No.
It's a good deal. Best you got. The women won't suffer none. Be over quick. Rest of you ride off without a care.
We'll think about it.
1 hour, Outlander. Then we come in after you.
Ryan had an almost overwhelming temptation to take out the arrogant young man right then and there. His finger actually itched to squeeze the trigger of his G-12. But that would mean having to play the hand out on their terms. It wasn't worth it for the passing satisfaction. The two men vanished into the flourishing darkness, and the street was quiet again.
We got an hour to move.
Carla and Baron Edgar arrived at the rooming house a half hour later. Ruby had made a hasty departure, even before Joshua delivered the ultimatum. By now, Ryan's group was spread out in defensive positions. JB was outside the back door. Jack stood just inside.